Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling. Happy to be with you this week to discuss a topic that we've talked about before, and it's always good to revisit and get a little bit of a reminder, and that is five keys to understanding the PPM. Now, a PPM, a private placement memorandum, can seem like just a boring, tedious legal document that's just a requirement to check a box. That's completely wrong. It is absolutely a document you want to read, you want to understand it, and if you don't understand it, one, that's very normal. Two, ask questions. That's the whole reason you read the PPM. If you have questions, please give me an email shout, pat@marapoling.com, marapoling.com. And don't forget to swing by the Learning Center at marapoling.com and check out all the great content there. All right, with that, let's get into this week's topic. So, five keys to understanding the PPM. There are many, many more things than just these five. These are five items that I would certainly encourage you to pay attention to. You may find other things in PPMs that are equally as valuable, maybe even more so. There's a reason everything is in that document that's in the document. It's there for your benefit. It's not there for the benefit of the sponsor, other than possibly giving them some cover later on to say, I told you this is what might happen, and the PPM had that laid out in it. So take advantage of the PPM, read it, make sure you understand it, and if you don't, and as I said, that's very, very common, ask questions. We always encourage folks, grab a pad, a pencil, the PPM, maybe your favorite beverage, and sit down to slog through it. 50, 60, 70, 80 pages is the kind of document we're talking about. And as you go through, jot down the questions you have. Then go back to the sponsor and ask them, tell me more about X. So these are five areas that PPMs cover that I would encourage you to pay attention to, not necessarily in any order. First up is the return waterfall. Now, you won't actually see that term anywhere in the PPM. It's not going to say waterfall, but somewhere in there, there'll be a description of the way returns are handled. The PPMs that we use a preferred return. That's a very typical kind of structure. Some can have preferred returns and have multiple tiers. They become more complicated, but essentially they look something like this. The first dollars that the investment generates go to investors until a certain threshold is hit. A percentage return, maybe a dollar amount, but generally a percentage return. Then somewhere in the waterfall is the return of the original investment capital to the investor. Sometimes that happens first, right? That might actually be the first dollars that go out, and then the hurdle return is next. That's the second step. And then the third is a split, meaning that at that point in time, those dollars that are generated by the investment, a percentage of those go to investors and another percentage goes to the sponsor. This is typically where the sponsor actually makes their money. While there's some fees along the way, for example, for Mara Poling, that just keeps the lights on. That's not where we make any profit. Our profit comes from that back end payment, sometimes called a promote, other times called a carried interest. And again, those are terms you probably won't see in the PPM. But when you speak with your sponsor, that's probably the language they would use. So that waterfall is spelled out in the PPM. By the way, all of this is also covered in the operating agreement. The operating agreement is a little more mechanical about how the investment entity actually operates, but it would also be covered there as well. Now, very closely related to that is the next item, and that is distributions. How are distributions processed? Are they sent out on a pro rata basis, meaning if I own 2% of the investment, I get 2% of the distributions? Are they fixed? Do they happen monthly? Do they happen quarterly? Are they guaranteed? Am I going to see that money? Are they at some discretion? Whose discretion? What are the discretion factors that can be taken into account? All of that's covered somewhere in the PPM. So you'll have a section about the waterfall, and then you'll have a section about, okay, how do I get my cash? When does that happen? And so on. Now, the distribution of cash may be and often is different than the allocation of profits and losses. So let's think about that for a minute. So you may own a certain portion of the investment. Again, say you own 2% of the investment. You might in fact receive 2% of the distributions. Sometimes there can be preferred memberships. They get distributions before others do, and so on. Again, the PPM would spell that out. But for our purposes here, let's simply say that it's allocated equally based on your percentage of ownership. So you would get 2%. Now, taxes, meaning the profits that are generated and the losses that are realized, might be allocated the same way. They might be allocated differently. For example, our total return fund, because it is an ongoing operating fund in which existing members can add to their accounts, they can reinvest their distributions, and we are bringing new members in with some degree of regularity, means that everyone's at a different spot in terms of how much of the tax losses or tax profits they have experienced. And so our PPM for that investment spells out the methodology for how losses and profits are allocated, because they're not allocated on a percentage of ownership basis. And that's important to understand, in particular, if part of your rationale for an investment is some of the tax benefits that come with it. At the end of the day, your PPM will absolutely describe that taxes ultimately all balance out and everyone gets treated proportionally to their ownership. Although it's going to be different along the way, possibly, especially if it's an ongoing operating fund as ours is. If it's a standalone single entity asset that everyone joins at the same time, there's no new members later, there's no reinvestment, it may very well be that taxes are going to be allocated the same way distributions are. So we've talked about how you're going to get your return, how you're going to get distributions, how you're going to get taxes allocated to your K-1. What about fees? Well, fees are also in the PPM. So that's where you'll be able to see how much are you and the other investors paying the sponsor for doing the work the sponsor does. There could be acquisition fees. There could be monthly or annual management fees. There could be brokerage commissions if the sponsor is also a broker and manages transactions. There could be fees if there's refinance or other capital structure events. There could be catch-up fees, meaning that if there's a distribution made to investors, that at a certain point in time, some money is diverted to the sponsor until they catch up to the same level of distribution or some percentage of that investors have seen. And then there'll be the split, the carried interest, the promote that we talked about a few moments ago. All of that is spelled out in the PPM. And as I said at the very beginning, these items may be very clear to you. You might read them and go, okay, I completely understand that. It is absolutely very, very common, though, that you'll have questions after you read those sections. You'll look at it and say, I'm not quite sure about the waterfall. I don't get how that ties into taxes. And how do your fees connect to that? That's a great dialogue you can have with the sponsor. And you're doing it from a position of understanding because you've read the PPM. Those are obviously questions you can ask without reading the PPM. And I have no doubt that any sponsor you talk to is going to do their level best to answer that question to your satisfaction. And that's a verbal interaction or it's an email exchange. The PPM is a legal document drafted by that sponsor required to provide to you that is much more binding. I would make sure that you're comfortable with what the PPM says and go back to ask questions from the sponsor to help clarify that. So the last item, and this absolutely is, in our estimation, the most important item, is the delineation of the risks associated with the investment. Now, the risk section, and it might be one section, oftentimes it's actually, you'll see it throughout the entirety of the document. The risk section can be so expansive that it almost acts like an umbrella in which it talks about every possible risk that could ever happen and warns you about it. That might be along the lines of the, hey, if something goes sideways later, I want to be able to say, I told you that might happen. And you may see that in some of the items that are pointed out. The overwhelming majority of the risk factors that are pointed out are items that absolutely are real legitimate risks associated with this investment that you want to be aware of. There is no risk-free investment in real estate. We're very fond of saying, if you're looking for risk-free, go buy a treasury bill. That's the closest you're going to get to risk-free in the investing world. If you're looking to invest in real estate, there are risks associated with what might go on in the real estate market. There are interest rate risks. There are risks related to local regulations around, for example, rent control or things like that. There are risks associated with national legislation, like when we were in COVID and the federal government said, we're going to suspend evictions for a period of time. All of those risks are spelled out in the PPM. Now, they're not there to tell you that this is a bad investment and you shouldn't make this investment. These risks are spelled out so that you can make a determination, is the risk level associated with this investment consistent with what I'm looking for these particular dollars that I'm investing? If that's the case, then that's great and you can go forward. Many of the risks that are listed have some degree of mitigation. So for example, a risk that you'll see with smaller firms, and you'll see that if you look at the PPM from Mara Polling, is the risk of reliance on key principals. So for example, myself and other principals in our firm, our participation is extremely vital to the long-term success of the organization. If I were to get hit by the proverbial bus tomorrow, what happens to the organization? So that's a risk. And then there's mitigation that can be described in terms of succession planning and other factors that work to mitigate the exposure of that particular risk. Great topic, again, to talk about with your sponsor. So as you can see, each of these items, while they may answer your questions and inform you fully, you may walk away saying, great, I understand exactly what I'm getting myself into. For many, many individuals, the PPM raises questions, which is fantastic. We think that's a wonderful way to use this tool so that you can get answers that, in our estimation, do two things. One, when you ask a question of a sponsor, for example, you ask a question about succession. Pat, what happens if you get hit by that bus tomorrow? The answer I give you may or may not satisfy you. in terms of the specific content of the answer. But the other item that you're getting, in addition to that specific content, the specific answer, is you're getting to hear the sponsor, ideally a principal, a decision maker inside the sponsor, not just an investor relations person, answer a question for you. And the manner in which they answer that question and the kind of dialogue that you're able to have, I would estimate, is equally as important, maybe even more so than the actual answers that you get, in terms of helping you understand the risks potentially associated with working with this sponsor. At the end of the day, while you're investing in real estate, many, many, many clients of ours have come to me over the years and said, you know what, it dawned on me the other day that I'm actually not investing in real estate, I'm investing in you. And that's a very true statement. When you make a passive investment, yes, your money is going into that specific real estate project, and you are investing in real estate. You're also, though, investing in that sponsor and their track record and their ability to deliver and the risks associated with working with that sponsor, as well as with making an investment in real estate. So those are the five things we would encourage you to look for in the PPM. There is much more information inside a PPM than just that. There's lots of individual state disclosures and requirements. It is a tough slog getting through it. I know many of our clients have done so and ask us great questions. I also know some have perused it, shall we say, and also asked some really good questions. And I'm pretty confident we've got clients that have never cracked the PPM open at all. And that's okay. That was their decision to do that. We would encourage you, open the PPM for any investment you're going to look at, whether it's with Mara Poling or someone else, and take a peek. Now, one last item, and that is, now that we've talked about PPMs, if you've never seen a PPM, or if you'd just like another one to take a look at, shoot me an email, and I'm happy to share with you a copy of one of the PPMs that we have used. The one that right now we're sharing would be for our total return fund. So that's pat@marapoling.com, MaraPoling.com. And I'll be happy to share that with you and then answer your questions about it. Not a solicitation, not looking to ask any of you to make an investment, although obviously if you're interested, we'd be happy to have that conversation. But simply as an educational tool, so you can look at what we are pretty confident is a nice PPM. We think we did a good job putting that together. We've got a very solid regulatory team that we work with, and our PPM is updated on a regular basis. So we're very comfortable that it's a good example to look at. All right. I hope you found this week's session valuable. If you have questions, as I said, shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com. Have a great rest of your week and join us next week for another episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling.